Hello and welcome to the European Uppercut Podcast, a European perspective on the world of professional wrestling. This week we have a packed show for you, breaking down everything Money in the Bank, Raw, and of course, the big news stories of the week. I'm Kai Valentine, but let's see who we have on the panel this evening. He's made it clear this week he's not a fan of football, but are you really surprised when England scores less than Charlie Sheen? It's Adam Pearson.
How are we doing?
How are you doing, Adam?
I'm a bit ropey, I'll be honest. Went out last night to commiserate with a friend and one quick drink turned into, as I got in, my brother was leaving for work. Let's put it that way.
Oh, and he was doing the afternoon shift. Adam, you enjoyed the last few days of wrestling? There's been a lot on.
A lot has happened in the past few days. We've had pay-per-views, we've had cash-ins, we've had suspensions, we've had ambulances and absinthe in Vegas. It's been a very, very busy week.
Yes, and that is why we've got all of it to talk about as today's show goes on. But up next, also on the show, he's not been here for a while, but it's always great to have him back. It's PK. How are you doing, PK?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back on. It's been an interesting few days from my point of view as well, because I commentated over the weekend and actually got used in an in-ring angle, which was just weird and bizarre, but also really fun at the same time.
Oh, well, you're definitely going to have to tell us more about that in the final thoughts of today's show. We're really looking forward to hearing about that. And finally, he may usually host the show, but he's a very busy man who's going on holiday this week. The key's under the mat and the alarm code is 90EU. I'm only kidding. It's the living legend. How are you doing, legend?
Oh yeah,
you're the champ, aren't you? I forgot about that.
He comes with his toys.
So it feels a little bit weird being on that side of the show.
So how long has it been since I've been on this side of the call?
God, it's been a long, long time. But you know,
Wayne was hosting.
Yeah. Hello, Wayne. But we're glad that you've been able to find the time to come on this week, because you're going to be away for the next couple of weeks.
I am, yes, looking forward to being away, but I'm going to miss being here.
Yes, and we are going to miss you too.
Add in
sarcastic joke there. Now, I think it's time that we address the elephant in the room, because we've had a few people messages in this week already saying, cracking the same jokes, really. And that is because on Thursday, we're recording this on Wednesday, and on Thursday, tomorrow, is the EU referendum here in the UK, where we decide as the UK whether we want to remain or leave the European Union. And with us being called the European Uppercut Podcast, some people have been cracking jokes and thinking that we're going to have to change our name. Adam, What do you think about this?
I can't go through another name change, I'll be honest. I still call it Second Shift by accident sometimes. And also, oh my god, we're completely screwed, Uppercut, as less of a ring to it. I have postal vote, my friend, because I'm lazy. Bring the ballot to my house and let me fill it in. And then I even had someone else post it for me. Because I'm that guy.
You get on television a bit and then you've just got to go and everyone's got to do everything for you. You can't even be bothered. You don't want to be seen down at the polling stations on polling day.
No, I'll get mobbed. It'll be like,
I won that job.
I'll be the kind of, Pearson hates Britain or Pearson is racist. No matter what I vote. It'll be like an awful Daily Mail headline. And I really, really hope we stay.
Yeah, but we're not going to get into that. No, I think that's too...
That's not set me off.
Yeah. So PK legend, if you had to rename this show because to go alongside Britain leaving, if we decide to leave the EU, what would you call it?
It could be The Outsiders.
Oh, that's a good one. I was talking to Becky earlier today, my flatmate, who's been mentioned on this show before, and we were talking about it, and I said, oh yeah, we might need to rename the show as a joke, and she just turned around and went, well, why don't you just call it the British Uppercut Podcast? And I went, oh god, yeah, you don't watch wrestling, I forgot about that. And I tried to explain it to her, but it was no use, it's like a lost cause.
Oh, I love Becky, she's so great. It must be like having a pet.
Maybe it could just be the no longer European Uppercut.
No longer European Uppercut. Right, if
we could handwrite that onto the logo.
If we end up leaving, then next week that's going to be the name of the show. The no longer European.
The podcast formerly known as the European Uppercut Podcast.
Well, I think
we can certainly represent the independents.
God.
Just create a symbol and just do a prince.
So have we all got it out of the way now? We've all got it out of our system. We're not going to make any more jokes about us leaving the EU. And we'll see what happens next week. If we're not here next week, you know why. And now let's get into our first segment of the show, and that's the emails. Remember, you can email the podcast by sending them to eurouppercut@gmail.com, and that's what this person has done now. He says, hello, gents. I'm liking what they are having... horrible grammar again, I'm sorry. I'm liking
that English language you have to read.
If you could read it. I'm sorry, Andy, I'm sorry. I'm liking that they are having a Raw and SmackDown podium, and I'm hoping that this means we will have a real draft, as I'm tired of the video roulette draft dealio. The word dealio, I'm done. With all the old GMs coming back, who do you see coming up next? Later, A-dubs. So, let's start with the podiums. PK, are you happy that they seem to be going the direction of what the original drafts used to be like, or do you prefer it when they had the video roulette and it was all randomised?
Much preferred the original draft because it felt more like an actual sport. And just seeing those podiums and then realising that they got all these people like vying for SmackDown and things like that makes it feel like a big deal. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it all pans out, and because like you could see like just some been built storytelling that you can do just by certain people getting drafted certain ways, and one GM spoiling another GM's plans, and it could make the draft a lot more interesting as a result.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Adam. What are your thoughts on this?
Why are we talking about the randomised video screen like it's actually random?
Like, that's true.
I prefer the podium instead of pre-prepared video that they played after a match. And I like the podiums. It harkens back to Vince and Ric Flair and The Rock coming out and getting one half of the arena to go, you are, and the other half to go, an arsehole, which kept going for all of like a week. And yeah, I liked it, and I'm glad to see the podiums. I'm glad seeing all the GMs come back. What the hell is Johnny wearing? Seriously.
I am quite enjoying the old GMs coming back, but we'll get into that in just a second. Ian, are you in agreement?
Sorry, I'm just trolling you a little bit.
Are you happy that the podium style draft is coming back?
I am. I think it's the best way to go. And to be honest, having them there now as well really helps the build. As the guys were saying, it starts to give it a little bit of an edge, makes it feel a bit more real. But preempting and building something is something that, you know, is really important when it comes to taking one show that's live and a second show that's recorded and making it live and actually making a big thing of it. If you preempt and build all that properly, you're going to have eyes on the product, you're going to have people coming to watch, and that's what they need to be doing at this stage in the game. So it's the best way to go.
Totally agree. And as Andy says, with all the old GMs coming back, who do you see coming up next? We've had Corporate Kane, we've had Johnny Ace, we've had Teddy Long, PK. Who do you see coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Surely it's got to be Vicky Guerrero as one of the ones, after such a massive impact she did have on SmackDown when she was GM. And she was one of the best heels they had in a long time. So it'd be interesting to see Vicky come back. And I'm dreading but expecting the bloody anonymous laptop to come back for one week as well.
But Hornswoggle is no longer. Adam, is there any others that you see coming back?
I think they should bring back Mike Adam Lee.
Knew you were going to say that.
Have him deliberately get people's names wrong. Deliberately do it. Just troll the universe. And coming out now is Ron Cena and stuff like that. I miss Mike Adam Lee so much.
There would be an amazing segment with New Day there, with the whole Jamaican me crazy. And also, you'd have to bring back Jeff Hardy for one night so that he could call him Jeff Harvey.
Or we should just go out and find a guy called Jeff Harvey and be like, oh,
even better.
My bad. Is he still wrestling? No, he's not.
Yeah, he's not wrestled for years now. Yeah, no one's heard of him.
Not since CM Punk retired him.
Right, so are there any more GMs that anyone has in mind?
I do maybe have one, and I'm just doing something here in preparation for it. Get excited.
Oh, everyone get excited.
Deliberately using his TNA music.
Yeah.
It can only be Kurt Angle.
Yes, my boy.
Well, he does get a mention later on in the news, but yeah, so I'm sure we'll talk about that one as the show goes on. Andy Anderson says, later, A-Dubs, P.S., I was going to ask, how does my ass smell in related to the picks, but I will be nice and won't this time. So thank you, Andy, for that. No, seriously, Andy, thank you for sending in an email, as always. And remember, you can get in touch at eurouppercut@gmail.com for next week's show. So let's go on and move on with the show.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to this week's Not So Knockout News. And first, Sonny. But what's this? For once, Sonny is not the punchline of a joke. She has reportedly been alcohol-free for 90 days now and doesn't want to leave her WWE-sponsored rehab. Congrats, Sonny. We're all rooting for you. WWE has reportedly contacted multiple former stars to return for the brand extension, including MVP, Carlito, and Stevie Richards. Hold the phone. Stevie Richards! God, I wish that this was the most bizarre news story this week. Reports are coming in of Paige being detained on Sunday night. No charges were brought against her, although next week on Superstars, expect her to be entering shouting, "This is my doghouse!" To be honest, ooh, at least Wayne got to see her in handcuffs. Triple H was in China this past week,
Stephanie was furious until she remembered that Joni was dead. Then again, Triple H does have previous. Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle has teased another return to WWE, claiming he had a meeting with Trips and Vince 6 weeks ago. I don't know what's true! I don't know what's damn true! Roman Reigns has been suspended by WWE for his first violation of the WWE wellness policy. Every joke I could possibly make has already been made into a meme, so I might as well steal one of those. He's not a bad guy, he's not a good guy, but he obviously knows a guy. And if the news couldn't get any weirder this week, Jerry Lawler and his girlfriend have been arrested for a domestic dispute. When they start fighting back, that's when they're too old for the king. And that's all for this week's Not So Knockout News.
Wow.
That last one.
I think I'm going to hell.
I'll save your seat.
Thank you, Adam.
I'm seeing nothing.
Oh, let's go into some of these. So, Adam, which news story stands out to you?
What do you think stands out to me, Kai? It's the Jerry Lawler thing.
Okay, let's get into it.
He clearly had his own Money in the Bank kickoff show at home, didn't he?
Right, we might as well clear up as well. We are not in any way making light of this situation or of domestic violence. However, it's a very, very strange one and something that I can't exactly say that I saw it coming.
No,
it looks like the type.
Oh god.
When there's that much of an age gap between you and every girlfriend you've ever had, you just ask them for trouble.
I mean, jokes aside, the actual story sounds very, very scary, and the reason why they arrested both of them was because they didn't know who the aggressor was. And that was probably, it seems like it's been handled well by the authorities, and we'll see if there's any updates as weeks go on. Let's get into another news story, because there's a lot to go with here. Let's get into it about Kurt Angle. So, Legend, you played the music.
Yeah, I sure did.
Would you be happy to see Kurt Angle return?
I would be happy, but it really depends on the context of how they use him. Because we all know his history when he was last in WWE and how much he hammered his body to the point he got dependencies on all sorts of stuff that's probably not a good idea to be doing. So we want to avoid that again. So if he works, he needs to be either doing the light schedule possible or actually doing something that involves not wrestling at all and being... perhaps, as we touched on, general manager, for example.
Well, he has claimed in this interview that he had, he claimed that he's currently got no... He's not planned to be part of the draft lottery day, where so he's not planned to be a general manager. However, what he has been talking to them about is he's basically told them he can still go in the ring, and he feels that he's in the best shape of his life because he's been, since he started with DDP yoga and that sort of stuff. However, he has said that he understands he's not going to be able to go forever and would like to go into maybe a managerial role. And once again, he brought up the names of American Alpha.
Yeah.
As a possible team. PK, how do you feel about Kurt Angle returning?
I've been made up, to be honest, but I agree with Legend 100%. Like, his body is knackered. He failed the medicals to try and compete in amateur wrestling, so it all depends as well on whether he could pass the fitness tests that he would have to go through at the Performance Center to actually be an active wrestler. I'm sure he'd be able to pass them to work in an agent or managerial capacity, but as in putting on matches, maybe not, because you've seen how well they've handled the injuries to the likes of Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins, and the tests that they go through are designed to make sure that there's not only that the WWE not liable for anything that goes wrong in the ring, but the wrestlers are safe. So we'll see, but I'm certainly interested in the possibility. It's very obvious in going with American Alpha, though.
And sometimes obvious is good.
Yeah, sometimes, but I just hope it wouldn't be for too long, because it's the perfect thing to really get him in with American Alpha. Obviously, assuming he clears all the medicals and things, and then eventually turn him and have him going against those guys.
Yeah,
which could, because they never did that with the original team angle. They just kind of like split off and went the separate ways. But I think both Jason Jordan and Chad Gable could have some really good matches with Angle.
Adam, what's your thoughts on Kurt Angle returning? Do you think that him going into a managerial role is best, or do you think that he could still keep going as an in-ring competitor?
I do not want to see Kurt Angle die in the ring. And at the moment, his body is just completely battered and bruised. And there's a Jerry Lawler joke in there somewhere. I'm going to leave it. But no, his body's being held together with sticky butt plastic and good intentions. And I don't think he'll pass the physical. I think he got to wrestle a lot more in TNA because they don't care about the physical stuff. They're just trying to get enough money together to not pay their wrestlers. I think it's a good move. The American Alpha thing is very, very clever, because they already chant stuff at them anyway to Kurt Angle's music. So I reckon it's good. I reckon they're getting them even more over than they already are, which, by the way, very over. That's so over.
Yeah, I think go on, Legend.
I was going to say a couple more things just to say on Angle. First one is that, if anywhere, I'd rather see him retire in a WWE ring than just retire off on the independent circuit in a match somewhere in, I don't know, North Carolina or somewhere ridiculous like that. So I'd rather he did go out in style. That would be the best way to go for him. But the other thing to mention as well, it was announced just on Sunday there that he's going to be wrestling in Glasgow in November, but we knew that anyway. But we now know who he's going to be facing, and that is Joe Coffey, a Glaswegian-born wrestler that I've seen fighting Jay Lethal just a few months ago, and it was an awesome match, so I'm actually really looking forward to that. So if WWE are thinking of taking him on board, let him work out these dates he's got agreed. That'd be good, thanks.
Yep, and if it's in November, that's probably around the time, if they wanted to bring him in before, right? He's over there with the WWE in November anyway. So
there's about 2 weeks difference between here and when that event is.
Well, they had him over for Rev Pro, didn't they, against Zack Sabre Jr.? Yeah. I know a few people had travelled down for that, and he said it was a good match, but it was very short. You're talking 5 minutes.
Right.
So whether that was Angle's choice or whether that was the promoter saying, we'll take it easy, I don't know. But that could be quite telling if he only did 5 minutes with someone like Zack Sabre Jr., who's not exactly known for being a very bump-heavy style wrestler.
Here's a question. If you're a promoter, though, PK, are you wanting the liability of a Kurt Angle falling dead in your ring?
No, definitely not. And especially considering, when you think how much you would have had to pay to get Angle over in the first place, not between flights, fees, everything else, because no, Angle posted on his Facebook, thank you, RevPro, for flying me in first class. So that even on that, they've spent a pretty penny on having him on that show.
So let's move into the final news story. And that's one that if you'd have asked me if any of these had happened over the week, this one would have been the one that I wouldn't have predicted. And that's Roman Reigns being suspended for his first violation of WWE's wellness policy. What's going on, Adam?
I don't know. And in a week where Sonny has not drunk or done drugs in 90 days, and doesn't want to leave rehab. The fact that that is not the most unbelievable story says a lot. Well, apparently they knew beforehand, they knew before Sunday that he'd failed it. And I think that's why he may have lost clean to Seth and why Ambrose cashed in so quickly.
And why Ambrose ripped him a new one in the promo on Raw as well.
Yeah. Totally. He snapped at the crowd as well. That was a little bit weird. Normally, he just doesn't care.
I noticed that. Yeah.
But now he went nuts. But he'll be back in time for the triple threat at Battleground.
You see, that's where well, even if he does lose clean again, that's where I sort of think, that's a bit... If they knew before Money in the Bank and obviously Raw that he's not going to be back, then why did they book that he's going to have the 30 days off and be back and not be able to be on TV before the pay-per-view? Why book him in that triple threat match? Because that seems to me like that if I was one of the wrestlers in the back, I'd be there thinking, what, sir? He gets to have all this time, he gets to have this 30-day suspension, but then he comes straight back for 3 days later being in the main event of a pay-per-view. That's not really... that seems more like a holiday.
Subject to change.
Yeah, but if you believe the SmackDown spoilers, someone posted a picture and they actually had their match graphic up on the screen and it was still the triple threat. Obviously, that's as of yesterday. Mm-hmm. But you never know what's going to change in the next 4.5 weeks.
It's still going to be the triple threat. He's not around for the draft, which is going to be interesting. Because he's meant to be heading up Raw, and Cena's meant to be heading up SmackDown. And I feel a bit uncomfortable when they draft someone who isn't in the building, because that happened in the first draft for Vince McMahon's second pick, and that wrestler may or may not have killed his wife and child.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, with even if they have him as the top, they can no longer have him as the first draft pick for either side, because then you're saying, oh, the first draft pick, I'm having Roman Reigns, but he's not here because he's serving a wellness violation, and it does make you go... maybe plans will change. We don't know. I think that's the thing. We're making a lot of speculation here. We only found out about this yesterday. We don't know what the plans are going to be over the next few weeks, but it's going to be incredibly interesting to see how they deal with it moving forward. Now, I'm sure we'll touch on Roman Reigns more and all the cash-in and everything as the show goes on, because we're going to break down Money in the Bank shortly. But has anyone else got anything to add about Roman Reigns or about any more of the news stories?
I just want to say well done to Sonny. For someone who has been through such a lot of shit over the years, mostly our own doing, let's remember that, to accept the WWE's rehab deal is actually a good move for her. She had to do it, and she wants to stay there. She's putting the effort in, and I hope she comes out the other side dry, sensible, and with a focus and a mission of what our life's about from now on in, because hopefully she can put that history behind her, and you know, her name will no longer be as tainted as it is at the moment.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember this sort of this time last year, and even a bit later on in the year, I was sort of getting to a point where we were, when doing the news, we had a story about Sunny and what she was up to every single week, to the point where it was you, Legend, that turned around to me and went, look, I think we just stop mentioning Sunny now. And we went, yeah, we're going to stop mentioning her until she starts to get into a better place. And that's why I wanted to make it clear that we're all rooting for her. You know, I've recently watched the Jake Roberts documentary on Netflix, Jake the Snake, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, and just seeing how bad a situation he was in and how he's come out of that, it proves that Sunny can do it too. And she seems like she's trying, and that's what we respect as fans.
Yeah, you have to think that the whole China passing away has to weigh on a lot of people with those sorts of issues' minds as well, thinking, shit, people have died previously, and there's like the 39 club and all that that you can mention for wrestlers, but when someone like China passed away, who has very, very, very similar issues to what you had, very similar issues to what Sonny's got, I think that may have been the kick up the arse you needed as well.
Now, I believe, Legend, that we've got another email in. It's coming late, but we're going to answer it now. So, yeah. If you want to read that out.
Yes, we do have a late email. It's coming from Sam Langford. And he says, "Hi, all. Sorry if this is too late. Sam, it is late. Stay behind after class." Anyway, and can you touch on something we touched about just a wee minute ago? So let's get into this. It says, "I recently watched The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's on the UK Netflix. I knew a bit about Jake when he wrestled, and I've always admired him as a wrestler. Let's face it, he was one tough SOB. After watching the documentary about his battle with alcohol, it actually made me feel like I know him as a person. The documentary goes into great detail about Jake's battle with alcohol, and you get to see all sides of Jake, good and bad. What's everyone's opinion on the WWE and their involvement in wrestlers that have an addiction? Do they do enough? Do they have to do anything? Jake seemed to be all alone until DDP intervened and saved his life. WWE eventually got involved by inviting Jake onto Raw and obviously inducting him into the Hall of Fame in 2014, but this was after the input of DDP. Did they do it because they felt like they had to, or do they actually care? I don't have an opinion on this as such. I'm wanting you guys to enlighten me. Thanks, guys. Sam Langford."
So thank you, Sam, for that email. It's always great to hear from you. And let's start with PK. What do you think about that?
I think they do care, because the reason why a lot of these guys end up getting help from the likes of Dallas, like Scott Hall, as an example, Dallas Page saved his life as well. But yep. He had rehab from WWE on multiple occasions, and it got to the point where they actually cut him off because he was either checking in and then leaving straight away, and he wasn't doing the program, and you can only help someone if they want to be helped. So I think it's great that they do it. But you have to understand that with the person with the addiction, it's 50-50. They have to want to be helped. And it took someone like, as Jake puts it, most positive, annoying person on the planet in DDP to push him and Scott Hall. And it was actually Jake getting better that made Scott Hall want to do it. So it was like a domino effect of these guys finally deciding, no, we need to sort ourselves out.
Yeah, I and like I said, the documentary, I watched it the other week. It's really amazing. Adam, what do you think about all this?
I agree with PK. I think rehab is a 50-50 thing, and you can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped. And I think WWE now are taking really good care of all their former talent who may have addictions via alcohol, drugs, prescription meds, and what have you. So there's a little bit of me that's quite cynical. Also thinks, does that mean they care about the wrestlers? Or is there an element of them trying to protect their brand as well? There's a weird dichotomy that exists in WWE, where they have like the Be A Star campaign 1 minute, and then Sheamus kicking 7 shades out of someone the next. And it's kind of, does this sit right? Well, I think they do a really, really good job. I mean, you only need to look at Jake Roberts, Scott Hall and Sonny to realise how good they're doing.
Yeah, and the fact that they will... I know you mentioned there that Jake got cut off for a while, but in general, if you have ever had any sort of employment with WWE, whether that's under a talent contract or under a production contract or anything like that, if you have any sort of problems that need rehab, they will pay for it. It's a no questions asked sort of deal. And the fact that they're still sponsoring Sonny, and it's now got to a point where, as we mentioned in the news, and as it's now got to a point where she's got to a point where she's happier in herself and she doesn't actually want to leave rehab, that shows that this is working. And the WWE, I don't feel, get enough credit for this. Do you agree, Legend?
Well, just to say on this, there's a thing here that's very important about the WWE-sponsored rehab system. The talent have to approach WWE and request it. WWE aren't going to go to them and find them. They have to be in a place where they want it initially, in the very first place. If they don't do that, then the WWE have got no interest because they know the money is just going to be wasted ultimately because the person doesn't have that focus or a future in their mind as to where they want to be and what they want to do about it. But in this case, the Jake story is actually very interesting because he's gone through the DDP route. Now, DDP as a person, if I recall right now, I've not watched this documentary yet. Clyke, you can confirm this for me. Did Jake reach out to DDP or did DDP reach out to Jake?
DDP sought out Jake. Because he called him on the phone and he didn't sound good, so he flew to Atlanta just to see him face to face and basically
that's
right. That's what I thought.
A lot of fans had got in touch and said, you know, could you help him because you've been doing all this DDP yoga thing. And then when it came to Scott Hall, it was once again a lot of fans coming over saying to him, oh, could you just help Scott? You've done so well for Jake. And they actually show in the documentary the moment where they ring Scott Hall. And I won't ruin it because it's such a good moment. And it's a really, really good documentary. Urge you to check it out.
This is my point, though, because WWE didn't reach out to Jake. Jake didn't reach out to WWE, so that was never going to work. It was never going to happen.
Yes.
It needed DDP to intervene to make that step to help Jake, for Jake to then recognise that he wanted the help, for ultimately the WWE to get involved. It wasn't that they really didn't want to or refused to help him in any way. Their system is very clear that you have to approach them to request that help. And that's where, you know, Jake was never in that place to do so.
And that's the first, like, I've never been through addiction myself, but I've seen people who have gone through addiction, and that's sort of the first step of rehabbing, is that you've got to know that you need help, and the WWE can't do anything to help until you get to that point yourself.
Yeah,
and they do, exactly. And let's face it, that they do a hell of a lot more than a lot of other companies do when it comes to stuff like this.
I think as well as a lot of those, especially in America, a lot of those rehab things like 12 steps and all that, they're all very, very religious, and they're all very, you've got to be born again and all this. And some people don't want that. They don't want to feel like they're getting brainwashed into that. So that can put a lot of people off.
Yeah, yeah. And if you actually look at some of the other talents over the years who have gone through that, struggling with addictions, etc., and you've come out the other side born again. I'm going to give you Shawn Michaels as a perfect example. You know, he has gone through that born again, and I can see why a lot of guys wouldn't want to come through it with that a new mind frame, I suppose, is the way I'm trying to think about it. But the other thing to say at this as well is how we've mentioned DDP's name today. We've chatted about him in regards to Kurt Angle as well and what he's done for him. DDP has helped so many guys in terms of their physical in-ring. Look at Goldust, for example. Mm-hmm. Look how much he's doing in-ring now compared to what he was doing maybe 10 years ago. He's so much more agile
Jericho.
Physically.
Jericho.
Exactly. So DDP, the man's a legend. He's doing so much, and you know he deserves every accolade he gets.
Yeah, he is definitely... He deserves to go into the Hall of Fame for his services after leaving the ring just as much as his services whilst he was part of a full-time wrestler.
And his services before he entered the ring for what he did before he became an active talent.
Yeah, of course. But I think that sums it up. Thank you, Sam, for your email. I remember if people do want to get in touch, I'll say it again. Get in touch by sending your emails to eurouppercut@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us throughout the week on Twitter @TheEUPod or going to our Facebook page, which is the European Uppercut Podcast. We love hearing from you, so get in touch. But now it's time to move on to this.
Right, before you do that, there's something important that's got to happen.
Oh, has the boss got to leave?
The legend has to leave the building.
Oh.
So on that note, guys, have a great show. Enjoy your chat. Have a good one. And I'll catch you all on my return from holidays. But until then, you are all...
S-A-W-F-T. Soft. This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
And now it's time to talk about the pay-per-view from this weekend. Well, can we really call them pay-per-views anymore? Network specials, I don't know what we call them. Money in the Bank, that happened this Sunday on the WWE Network. And Adam, did you enjoy the show?
I did. I thought there were some very good matches on there. A little bit of filler and a bit of... But in the main, yeah, it had more ups and downs, I reckon.
And PK, what's your overall thoughts summed up of the show?
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't the best Money in the Bank ever, as they kept liking to say. But that still goes to 2011 by a long shot, and that's not going to be beaten for a long time either. But yeah, I thought it was a very good show. The couple of filler bits were what they were. And there's a couple of weird booking things where you think, hey, where did that come from? But the matches that you wanted to deliver, like the actual Money in the Bank match, the main event, AJ and Cena, all delivered, so you can't say fairer than that. I think WWE, though, have now realised that, well, we don't care about pay-per-view anymore, because once again, it's another pay-per-view that overran by quite a significant margin. It was over about 3 hours 30 minutes.
Yes, and that's they have we reported in the news last week that they've sort of told the pay-per-view companies that they want them to prepare extra time because they could run over, and that's what's great about it. It meant that when it came to the main event, we had no idea when it was going to end, and we didn't know because the main event started at what, 5 to 4 for us here, so yeah. So normally that's, you know, the show over, so it's brilliant that they were able to give us that bit of unpredictability, and we're not thinking that the show's gonna end after 3 hours. Let's start at the top of the pre-show. Now, on last week's show, we didn't actually get the predictions for the pre-show because it all got changed at the last minute. However, we did add them to the sheet. So let's start at the top of the show, and that was Golden Truth versus Breezango. Now, I think this screams... pre-show match, but Adam, what were your thoughts on this match?
This match of the night, the real winner here was wrestling. Like, Will Ospreay, watch this match, make notes. Like, done.
For people who didn't see this match, this was basically Golden Truth locked Fandango and Tyler Breeze in a tanning machine, and they got burnt and they came out blistered, and it was proper like they have just come off the set. They've been with The Miz filming on a big Hollywood set to be able to get that great makeup.
Surely that's attempted murder, though.
I was about to say.
Wrestling angle aside, surely, like, there's actually a Final Destination movie where someone actually dies like that in the movie.
Final Destination 3. Yeah, that's not kind of, isn't R-Truth funny? No, he tried to kill someone. That is what has happened here. And then, WWE, a company who supports a lot of cancer charities, did that makeup.
Yeah, it was a risky one, but you know if we're sat here going that this was like the most risky thing that they did that night, and you go, oh god. But let's have a look at what some people said. PK, you went with the Golden Truth, and you were correct. Adam, you went with the Golden Truth, and so did I. Everyone went with the Golden Truth except for Kiwi, GBL, and that's it. So well done to everyone who got that correct. Kiwi and GBL
Oh, well done, guys, for getting it wrong. Let's move on.
To be fair on those guys, the truth hadn't won a match yet up to that point. So there's definitely precedence there. But
I know, but it was just a... I really don't know what to say, because it wasn't like it was a horrendous match. And I understand, like, the kids will probably love that, and that's something that'll stick in a kid's mind, and that's who that's there for, especially at the beginning of the pre-show. I've got no problem with it. Well,
the funniest thing was that I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was a British wrestler, Danny Garnell, and he was talking about it, and someone asked him straight away, have you ever been chopped when you've had, like, a tan done or anything, and did it hurt anymore? So I said, no, but my girlfriend once convinced me to wax my chest, and the guys in the back saw that I'd waxed my chest, so everyone in the match that I was in, which was happened to be like a big six-man match, just chopped them every opportunity he got and made them bleed. So it's like, okay, that kind of takes the sting off that match a little bit. No one ended up bleeding, at least.
there's a pun in there somewhere with the sting off that match. Let's get into the next match on the pre-show, and that was the Lucha Dragons versus the Dudley Boys. Now, looking at the picks, we didn't do too well when it came to everyone, whether they were from the Wrestlecast or the European Uppercut podcast. In fact, Adam, I got a Skype message off you that I've only just seen now from the night during the pre-show saying, Lucha, Lucha, Lucha. Which I presumed was you celebrating that you'd got the prediction right. But you picked the Dudleys.
I know. I was just trying to make conversation. I was just reaching out that night, Kai, and you completely...
That's me being logged out of my Skype, not getting the messages. You should know this by now, Adam. I don't check my Skype.
I know. If you listen carefully, you can hear my heart breaking.
Yeah, but anyway, the predictions, everyone went with Dudley's except for GBL, so he at least redeemed himself for his choice of Breezango, and Ceramic Samurai got it right with Lucha Dragons as well, but we all got it wrong, but Andy Anderson got it super wrong, as he decided to not give an answer to this match. So well done, Andy, for that one. You've just got a big black mark against that. PK, what's your thoughts on the match?
It was a very meh match.
We're sort of fighting our way through the pre-show here, aren't we?
Yeah, until we get onto the pre-show was a bit of a struggle, I'll be honest, on this one.
Adam, your thoughts?
It happened.
Right then, I think it's time to move into the main show, and the first match of the night kicked off with the WWE Tag Team Championship match. Enzo and Cass kicking off the night against the New Day, the Vaudevillains, and the Club. Here on the podcast, Adam, you went for the New Day, which you got correct, of course. PK, you went for the New Day, and I went for the New Day. We seem to be on the same mindset throughout most of this pay-per-view.
Yeah, we're like the white New Day.
I can't gyrate my hips as well as Big E, though, to be fair.
Ceramic Samurai, Living Legend, Carp, Mountie, DRG, and Heavy Set got it wrong with the Club, and Mop is on his own as he went with Enzo and Cass and got that wrong too. So, Adam, what's your thoughts on the tag team title match?
I really liked it. It was fast-paced, it was a lot of kind of everyone got their stuff in. The ending was very weird
as well. Yeah, I was going to touch on that myself. It was very it was just like Gallows, pause button.
Gallows looked at Big E holding Anderson and it kind of made eye contact and then he just ran away. It's almost like he's fessed to stop for a second there. It's almost like somebody rung a bell and he'd gone and went, oh no, wait, wrong guy.
It's like there was a video game someone hit the pause button for a second while we went to have a slash and then come back to finish off the match.
I got to admit, there was a moment where Enzo was laid outside the ring after being hit, and I was there, and he was like clutching himself like he was that when he had his legitimate injury, and I was there like, oh fucking hell, what's happened now? So that was a bit scary. But are you happy with the match ending as it did with the New Day winning?
Yeah, of course. They've been going on and on about this record for so long now that they have to give it to them, in my mind. They need to get it off of London and Kendrick, because I think Vince McMahon really doesn't like Paul London. Vince McMahon really dislikes Paul London. So they want to get that record away from London and Kendrick, because he completely, in Vince's mind, ruined the death scene in the limo. Because he's just standing in the background, grinning like a stone moron.
Yeah, but it'll be great that the New Day... It is always good to have those records there with guys that are relevant for the time. There are some records that will never be broken, but when it comes to the tag team title match, it's not like London and Kendrick are considered one of the greatest tag teams of all time. So it's all right for the New Day to take that, in my opinion. But let's go on to the next match of the night. The next match of the night was Dolph Ziggler against Baron Corbin. This was a rematch of the pre-shows that they've been having, it seems, right since Payback. And it's had a bit of a build now as this feud. Do you feel that the match paid off, PK?
No, it was slow, it was plodding. Corbin's heel work was good. When the fans were chanting boring, he was actually playing along with it and using it to try and build some heat. And as the match went on, it got better. But there was no interest in it from a fan point of view, because everyone's seen it how many times over the last month? 5 or 6 at least?
Yeah, I've got to agree with you.
And
there,
it was a straight match as well. There's no, if it was like a hair versus hair, or there was some other stipulations trying to add a bit of drama to it, then maybe. But as it stood, it was just a basic match that we've seen before.
Yeah, Baron Corbin gets the win, and that didn't surprise any of us, as everyone on the picks table got that correct. A couple of people put bets on it. I put a +5 on it, so I was very happy with that. Adam, you put a +3 on there. Mounty put a +5, and Mott put a +5 as well. So, Adam, you're happy that you got an extra 3 points from that, but are you happy with the match?
Once again, it sort of happened, didn't it? I mean, Dolph nearly killed himself by tripping up the stairs, and Corbin caught him and
luckily
turned it into the deep six. But I'm bored of it. We've seen it way too many times now, and it's the same match essentially every time as well.
Ziggler he's the sort of guy where I go, he's done really well to get Corbin to where he is. He's got me to actually care about Baron Corbin, so I'm really, really impressed with that. However, this feud, it's got to come to an end now. They've both got to go their separate ways. But it's not been a bad feud.
No, but Ziggler's just been booked terribly for years now. He's never going to get to that level again where he was when he was cashing in Money in the Bank.
Yeah, still one of the best cash-ins ever, just because of the fan reaction. Everyone was so ready for it. But there's nothing wrong with Ziggler's work, but he's very boring. And it's a real like oxymoron. He's a great wrestler, but he's really boring at the same time. It's really strange. But hopefully they'll be able to write it. But I can see him going when his contract expires.
Yeah, totally. He's totally going.
I think they need to find something else for him to do, because he has got to that point where, even though he's a great wrestler, his matches to me seem quite stale. I don't know whether you'd agree with that, because they just all seem like they're going the same way.
Yeah, and he's been doing just the same thing for years. He's known for overselling. so he has nothing else to do now. He's already done all his kind of stunt selling and kind of slippy shit, and it's just, where does he go? He can't develop anything, and hasn't developed anything. And I'm stunned he's been around as long as he has, actually. Because he's gone from being a golf caddy to a cheerleader to a handshaking, zebra print wearing nutter. And now he's just that guy, the show off.
Yeah, but remember, things can change. People can update their character. Look at Kofi Kingston. We all thought that he was getting stale for quite a few years, and then he completely changed it up. He found his position in the company. Maybe that's just what Dolph needs. I'm not saying that he needs to start a faction and start blacking up, but he might need to find where his new role in the company is outside of that upper tier. But let's go on to the next match of the show, and that is the women's tag team match. Women's champion Charlotte and Dana Brooke versus Natalia and Becky Lynch. On the pre-show, they had Natalia and Becky Lynch on there for a answering questions with Tom Phillips in the social media lounge, and it was at this point that I went on GroupMe and Twitter and Facebook, and I was really sort of gutted afterwards that I didn't say this on the show last week and do the picks. But I just turned around and went, I think that Natalia is going to turn on Becky Lynch tonight. And then it happened, and I went, why did I not bet on that, but I bet on Roman Reigns to win? So I was happy to see that Natalia is doing something a little bit different with her character. But PK, what's your thoughts on the match and what happened after the match?
It was a good match. Dana still doesn't look very ready for prime time, and the stuff she does in there is quite limited compared to the other three in the match. But I thought it was good. The turn at the end was just weird. Not the fact that she did it, but then she walks off the aisle crying, like she didn't want to do it. But then the next night on Raw, she blasts her again and beats her up backstage. It's just very strange booking and character-wise for Natalia.
Yeah, but I can see where you're coming from, but I also go, I actually quite enjoyed it, and I think that this is something that they can round off the character as weeks go on. Adam, what's your thoughts?
I think it's something with Becky. Everyone she seems to get close to ends up turning on her. And I think she's got a real deep character flaw that none of us are seeing, because everyone seems to hate her. I bet she's terrified when Bailey comes up, that Bailey's just going to come and knock her block off straight away, just to save time. But, you know, the match was okay. I find Dana Brooke hilarious. I think she's so, so good as a heel. I mean, she's just yelling at the... I know the rules! I like her. I like her a lot. And I think she's getting kind of... She's just about on the right side of X-Pac heat. Only just though.
Yeah, I'll say it's a close one. That she's like teetering on that edge.
But it's a good place to be in. And yeah, once again, the match happened. And was it as good as I wanted it to be? No.
Well, the rumor going around is that originally it was supposed to be Becky that turned on Natalia, but that was switched up at the last minute, which is an interesting way to look at it. Would you have preferred it to be Becky turning heel?
Well, it would have made more sense. Like, Natalia's done a little weird stuff as of late, and if you kind of just do a ton of what she's done, it just makes no sense. I think Becky turning would have been a lot better. But now Becky's the only face on the women's roster. Everyone else is either a heel or a trainer.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it later when we touch on Raw, but Sasha Banks is she now a babyface, I presume?
Well, by default, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that this could go somewhere, and what you touched on earlier when you mentioned Bayley, that makes me think that once Bayley does come up in, whether it's weeks or months' time, once Becky and Natalia have got their feud out of the way, that leaves a good situation for Becky to turn on Bayley when she comes up to the main roster and beat and say exactly what you said there. Becky wants to turn on Bayley before Bayley gets the chance to turn on her. That might be a good story to play down the road. What do you think, PK?
Yeah, I think it definitely sets up future storylines. I like the fact that there's a secondary story going on in the women's division that doesn't involve the belt, which has had done towards the women's division ever since Mania has felt a bit flat. It's definitely missed Sasha and just as good as Charlotte's work has been recently, it's getting quite samey at the same time. So let her move on to something new. Have the secondary story going with Natalya and Becky, and then hopefully Becky comes through it all to the other side, and then gets back in that title picture, and they can do something more with her character-wise down the line. She is a good heel, but she's also a very natural babyface, and people just seem to love her. And she's very over, so I don't think they'd take the risk of turning her, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, everything about the women's division is looking very strong at the minute and looking like it's going to improve as the weeks, months, years go on. So we're really excited to see that. Let's go on to the next match. Oh, I didn't actually do the picks for that one. And that is that everyone went with Charlotte and Dana Brooke, except for GBL, Mountie, AA, DRG, Mop, Heavyset. So the WrestleCast team didn't do very well with that one. But Adam, you let the side down, mate.
Yeah,
you went with
my bad.
You went with Natalya and Becky Lynch. Do you?
I did. I voted with my penis and not with my head on that one.
Oh, well, you know what? We were trying to put over women's wrestling so we don't seem like a sexist three-man team. And then, and then Adam throws in that comment.
Yeah, so, I fancy Becky Lynch. I picked Becky Lynch.
I don't think there's a problem with that.
No. Yeah. It's a compliment when you think about it.
Yeah. It does make me wonder why you picked Rusev later on in the show, but you know.
I picked Rusev because he doesn't mouth kiss his son on the way to the ring. That's why I picked Rusev.
Oh, well, we'll touch on that match in a short while. But next up was Apollo Crews against Sheamus. Apollo Crews getting the win over the former WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Sheamus has had a fall from grace, but it's nice to see him putting over some of the new talent, because, in my opinion, by God, does Apollo need it right now. Looking at the predictions and the results that are in there, we have everyone going with Cruz and getting it correct, except for DRG and the Living Legend. I remember Legend on last week's show saying that was his sort of one that that was his risky prediction, but I got a +5 on that. Mountie got a +5 on that, and AA got a +5 on that as well. Guys, you got it correct. You thought it was going to be Cruz. Are you happy with that result?
Yeah,
he needed it, definitely. I love Apollo Crews. I've followed him ever since his independent days as Uha Nation. And the fact that hopefully he'll start to actually get something now makes me happy. But we'll have to see, because he wasn't on Raw yet again, even after winning at the special. So we'll have to see what do you actually want to do with him.
Adam?
Yeah, I just think they're booking him quite awkwardly. I don't know what his purpose for being there is he kind of comes out, he smiles, he waves a bit, he does a backflip, and he goes home. And then he needs a reason for me to care about him.
And at yeah, the moment,
that isn't there.
I've got to agree with you, actually, and it's something that I've been saying for weeks, is that I think that he needed that little bit more time in NXT before he came up to the main roster to find his character, because he's brilliant in the ring. He can do some nice flips, some good stuff, and putting his body on the line on the outside as well, but there's only so far that can get you. Look at Bobby Lashley, and we don't want to see Apollo Crews trying to main event a TNA show that no one's watching in the near future. But I think that he will get there. It just needs that bit of time. Any more thoughts on the match, guys?
No. Again, it happened. It's very much a thing in the history of the universe, known and unknown. And just do something with Apollo.
I couldn't agree more. Let's go on to the next match, and that match is the what some people are saying is the best match of the night. It really arguably is, and that is AJ Styles against John Cena. AJ Styles picking up the win after interference from the club when the referee was down after an altercation where he met the elbow of AJ Styles accidentally, of course. Now, PK, what's your thoughts on the match as a whole and on the result?
The match was really, really good. Really good. Cena needs to talk a lot quieter. I'll say that. Or at least say, yeah. Spoiler alert, before he calls his spots for the entire watching world to hear. He's terrible. He's so bad at it. Just like, okay, now I'm going to hit you, bro. Yeah. Stop it, John. Stop it. But no, like, match of the night by far, even the ending, I think, is quite well booked. Because it then means there's a reason for the rematch. Simply beyond the kind of, I have respect for you, AJ. Have the same respect for me and wrestle me again. Kind of, it's a proper kind of, you probably can't beat me on your own. And I think AJ might go over at Battleground as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of people have hated on the ending for it not being a clean victory. And the only thing I can say is, yeah, it was completely right to have it like this, in my opinion, because it gives, that's what heels do. They're meant to make us angry. And they, you know, this feud is probably more based for fans like us. And the way to get us hating on this, on the club, is by having them screw over the match. And it means that we get it once again, and we'll probably get the third match at SummerSlam, which I've got no problem with. PK, what's your thought?
Yeah, I can't thoroughly agree with both you guys. They told a really good story. AJ as a heel has been fantastic. When you think of someone who came in January, and in the space of 6 months he's had a match with John Cena, two main events with Roman Reigns, a fun little feud with Jericho, and has already been on the Stone Cold podcast. That was a very, very good Stone Cold podcast as well. One of the best ones he's done.
It really was.
And all that in 6 months, he's making the most of every opportunity that he's been given. So, fingers crossed it continues. And I have no problem with the ending of the match. He signed the contract to say he wouldn't be at ringside with him. Didn't say anything about them not getting involved because he's, as you said, he's a heel.
And like AJ said on Raw, you know, he had no idea that the club were going to come down and interfere. It had nothing to do with them. They apologised to John Cena. They apologised to the fans. They apologised to AJ for getting in the way of his match. Who are we to argue with that? Let's have a look at what everyone predicted for this match. It seems very, very mixed. A lot of the WrestleCast went for Styles, with Katie and Heavyset putting plus fives on it each. Here with the European Uppercut team, we had a few people go with Cena. We had Kata go with Cena, Legend go with Cena, GBL go with Cena. Carp from the WrestleCast went with Cena, and Ceramic Samurai went with Cena. However, the rest of us that actually know what we're talking about, yeah, I'm talking about myself, Adam, Kiwi, and PK, all went with Styles. Yeah, we know what we're doing when it comes to these predictions, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Now let's move on to the next match of the night. It is the match that this pay-per-view is named after. It's the Money in the Bank ladder match. And, of course, you all know by now that Dean Ambrose defeated Alberto Del Rio, Cesaro, Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, proving that six really is the magic number in what I thought was a really good 21-minute Money in the Bank ladder match. PK, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, really good ladder match. Not as good as the WrestleMania ladder match, which I've had a lot of the same people in it. But I thought it was really good. The spot with the Michinoku driver on the propped up ladder was one of the most sickening things I've ever seen. Now, speaking from someone who's watched the match that they had at PWG, where they did a lot worse to each other because it was independent, and he thought, fuck it. Which is on Steam Wolf, so if anyone wants to check that show out, I highly recommend it. But yeah, I thought it was really good. Right guy won. And the fact that there was so many, because it was only the six guys, the stories that they could tell between the six were spot on. You had see Sammy and Kevin go straight at it. Then Alberto and Kevin had their little thing going. And one honourable mention for the promo as well earlier in the night with Owens, Del Rio and Jericho all corpsing multiple times because they were cracking each other up.
That was brilliant. I loved that promo.
I love you, Kevin Owens. I don't say it anywhere near enough, but I love you.
When he's like, he's the best one, the best guys they've got in a long time. Not just at the moment, but in a long time. Just in general, on the mic and getting character stuff over. And he proved it once again with Money in the Bank, like shouting, "This is my time. I'm going to win this." And yeah, absolutely superb.
Yeah,
well, that promo you'll have already heard, because I'm going to put that promo as the intro for this week's show. So
here's Del Rio to speak Spanish again. Gonna call me Pedro, which is Spanish for dog, right? Like, wait, you know Spanish? No, I just looked it up because you keep saying it all the time.
You're a Pedro idiot.
Yeah. Oh, that was amazing. And the I think Jericho as well, since he's now gone full blown heel, that whole drink it in, drink in Jericho thing he does is genius. Absolutely brilliant. I wasn't a fan of this latest return up until he's fully turned and he's actually starting to be a bit more, but having fun with it. You could tell all the guys that are involved in that mid card area at the moment all having fun.
Adam, it was you that sort of hit the nail on the head with it months ago, where you said something along the lines of, he's just like an angry stepdad, like walking around like.
Yeah, he hates everything and everyone, and he's got no problem saying it.
But overall, great match, some great spots. You mentioned the Michinoku driver spot, and I'm gonna get loads of hate for not being able to pronounce that properly. I knew as soon as I started to say it, I was like, fucking hell, why can't they just rename it like they did with the label lock? So
why do you think I said it? Because I wanted to you try and repeat it.
Fuck you. Adam, what was your favourite spot from that match?
Oh, the same as PK, the Michinoku driver on the sideways ladder. Just my eyes watered. Like I felt Kevin Owens' pain for a brief second.
Yes, yeah, it was a great spot, and I loved that there was a lot of innovative bits where they were like when they're always building up the sort of scaffolding with the ladders, that's always cool to see. And Dean Ambrose gets the win. Let's have a look at the pick sheet, see what we all went for.
Can I say, I didn't get it wrong. WWE booked it wrong.
Well, everyone went with Ambrose, except for a couple of people, but Katie went with plus four, AA went with plus five, Legend got a plus two on Ambrose as well, PKU went with Ambrose as well but didn't put any bets on, and the three people who got it wrong are myself, who went with Kevin Owens, Adam, who went with Kevin Owens, which I don't feel is a bad thing.
No.
I think, like you say.
And the third person that got it wrong was Vince McMahon.
Yes. Yeah, Vince McMahon got it wrong. But the other person who got it wrong was Kiwi, who I feel quite bad for, because I sort of, if anyone who listened last week, I sort of peer pressured him into taking the chance and going with Chris Jericho. So, I'm sorry, Kiwi. I apologise, but what are you going to do? So, that's all the predictions for that one. You say that Vince made the wrong decision, Adam. Is that actually what you believe, or is that just because you went with Kevin Owens?
No, I genuinely believe Kevin Owens would have been a lot better walking around with that briefcase, because it's cashed in now. It's done. That's it for a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
The grand split coming, I don't think they wanted the briefcase floating around out there, because it's too ambiguous of who's going to cash in on who and are they going to split the belts and all that. So at least now it's done and dusted.
Yeah,
it's one less thing to think about.
True. Maybe they kind of bat themselves into a corner with the brand split. But I just wanted to see Kevin Owens walking around with a briefcase being a knob, and it made me very happy.
Yeah. I think his production notes in the back just say, go out there and be a jerk, and he goes, no, to do that, and just walks out and there it goes off script.
Yeah, you make a very good point about the brand split. I think that could actually be a big reason as to why it happened, because one of the arguments that I made last week was that I thought that Ambrose could have been put into the main event picture without the need of the without needing the Money in the Bank briefcase, but it was a great moment to see come the end of the show, so I'm not going to complain in any way about it. I'm happy to lose a point there. So let's get into the main event of the evening, and that was for the WWE Championship, with Roman Reigns defending against Seth Rollins. Now, this divided the predictions of the last week, as well as many people went with Roman Reigns. I myself putting 5 points on it, Kiwi putting 3 points on it as well, betting, and it didn't come through. Seth Rollins wins. And the only guy from the European Uppercut podcast to say that Seth Rollins was going to win was the Living Legend.
Yeah. Fuck you, Roman Reigns, you drunk.
Just to feed his ego even more, Legend takes that point there.
You only have that point because Roman Reigns can't be trusted. You've only won because Roman Reigns is a druggie, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. We need to say that, you know, for legal reasons and shit.
I've all that nonsense.
Yeah. So, let's talk about it. PK, what was your thoughts on the main event?
Slow start, but built up to something very good by the end. The spear turned into the pedigree spot was superb and should have been the end of the match.
Totally agree.
But other than that, I thought, even though I was wrong with the predictions because I went with WWE's lack of logic mode, but right guy won in the end with Seth, because and then with Ambrose cashing in, you get the fact that you can say all three members of the Shield were WWE champion on the same night, which is something that I'm sure they're going to talk about in promos and video packages for many, many, many years to come.
That's a really cool thing to talk about. And actually, the fact that we didn't pick up on that last week as a possibility sort of makes me go, oh, we should have really picked up on that.
I'm more surprised, though, as well, because it's probably one of the only times in history that someone has not said on the go-home show to Raw what he was going to do and then gone ahead and done it. In Ambrose with a promo saying, "I'm going to win the Money in the Bank. I'm going to cash in on the same night," but he was the last standing figure, looking strong at the end of SmackDown as well. He'd hit 30 deeds on Owens, and he was looking like the strongest person on the last show before the pay per view, which is like again flying in the face of WWE logic. If you go over strong before, you're fucked.
It was also the last thing that was said in the advert at the beginning of the show, the big promo at the beginning of the show where they showed all the clips from the weeks building up to it, the last thing was Ambrose going, "And I'm going to become WWE champion." And they were hiding it in plain sight to the point where we must have seen it and we were thinking WWE logic. They tricked us into it. Adam, what's your thoughts on the main event and on the cash-in?
I liked the whole thing. It just plays so well into Dean Ambrose's character, where he's got this briefcase burning a hole in his soul, and as soon as the match finished, he just looked at it and went, "Yeah, go on in," and like ran out, hit him with it, and got the pin. It just plays into that whole kind of lovable idiot, lunatic that everyone expects from Dean Ambrose now. And yeah, I quite like the second pedigree to finish the match. Because you saw that look spread across Seth Rollins' face and be like, "I'm bored of you now." Pedigreed him again and pinned him.
Yeah, they were trying to sort of put over that he'd got injured on the outside and the doctors had come down to check up on him, and Seth just went, "No, I'm going to end it," dragged him back into the ring. But PK, what were you about to say?
And I'm sorry, it's gone right on my head what I was going to say now. I'm sure if it comes back to me, I'll mention it.
No worries. So are we all happy in general with the pay-per-view and with Dean Ambrose leaving champion at the end of the night?
Yeah,
definitely. That's what I was going to say, actually. Who'd have thought in 2016 in WWE you have a babyface champion who is actually over with the crowd and an actual babyface?
Yeah. First time it's happened in quite a while.
First time since Daniel Bryan left, which is amazing to think that that's been nearly, like, it's been a long time, it seems. So,
or when Roman first won it off Sheamus, when he regained it back off Sheamus, he was over for a night
before that one night.
Normal service resumed.
Yeah, I remember that. So let's have a look at the other predictions and bets that people put on. PK, I messaged you about this, about whether you want to put any extra bets on, and your words were, "No, I'm not going to risk it."
I played it safe. Yeah, I was thinking Ambrose cash in, but I didn't put any money where your mouth was.
To be honest, you were probably right to not put any bets on, because the people who did put bets on this week didn't do too well. 5 extra bets were put on, and only one of them came through, and that was the cash in, which Mop predicted. However, Kata went with cash in before the main event, which obviously didn't happen. He put a point on that, but that would have been an interesting one and something that we've never seen before. And a bit unpredictable, but that goes by Dean Ambrose style. Would you have had a problem with that, Adam?
No, that would have, yeah, that's so Dean Ambrose style. Roman Reigns comes out, stands in the ring, Ambrose comes out and whacks him, pins him, then just stands there waiting for Seth to come out. Would have been quite good, I think.
I'm starting to think that I'd have rather that happened. I hate it when that happens. Right, and then Legend also said Cena wins due to Styles disqualification. He put +3 on that. but it obviously didn't happen. So at least he lost some of his points there, the jammy bastard. Adam, you went with Bray Wyatt appearing. You were a day early.
I know.
My Do bad. You regret it, or is that Vince McMahon getting it wrong again?
Yeah, Vince got it wrong again. Also, technically, Bray Wyatt was there, he just didn't appear on screen. So technically, I'm right.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt being there.
Right, yeah. Just like that. I'll put a point on Vince McMahon turning up.
Yeah, you do.
I did get one bit right though on mine. I put a plus to be on Rusev, so I got that
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you got that
safe
right.
Safe as Beth, I could have played.
And Kiwi Tut went with Styles winning by count out, which obviously didn't happen, but he only put one point on that. So let's have a look at the scores for the. I think they're splitting this into a WrestleCast team and a European Uppercut team. And by the looks of things, we're having the European Uppercut team is myself, Legend, PK and Adam, and also Kiwi, Kata, and Ceramic Samurai. Now, that would mean that then the WrestleCast team is Mounty, AA, DRG, Mop, Biohazard, Katie, and Heavy Set. If people haven't checked out the WrestleCast, make sure you do so. It's on the feed where you found this podcast on the Trending Topics Network. However, that means that for the points, Adam, you came out with 10 points from this pay-per-view. PK, you came out with 11. Kiwi only came out with 7. I came out with 12, Legend came out with 13, GBL with 11, and Ceramic Samurai with 7. So we're not looking too bad on the leaderboard. On the leaderboard, PK, you've got 25 points, I've got 28, Adam, you've got 23, Kiwi's down on 19, and Legends got 31. So Legends ahead out of everyone in the European Uppercut podcast. But the WrestleCast are getting ahead of us, guys. We need to pick up our game for Battleground and SummerSlam, because Katie is well out ahead at the minute with 39 points. So we need to put some bets on and get predicting some more correct matches. Vince McMahon needs to get his booking correct. I think that's how we sum it up. And I think that sums up everything to do with Money in the Bank. Any of you guys got anything else to add?
No, again, solid show. Some stuff fell a little bit flat, but overall, very enjoyable pay-per-view. More enjoyable than WrestleMania, in my opinion.
Well, that's arguable, but we will move on now into this.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
Now it's time to move on and talk about the next night of wrestling. Yes, we move on to Monday Night Raw. And let's go to you first, PK. What are your thoughts on this week's Raw? Do you think, are you positive about this week's show, or are you negative?
More ups than downs. Sasha Banks' return and putting herself back in the title picture. Big up. The promo with AJ, Gallows, Anderson and Cena was really good. Unfortunately, a down is the fact that the match, Anderson got zero offense in whatsoever. He didn't have to be mega competitive, but at least make him look not like a complete jobber when he's one of the best wrestlers on the planet. Main event was good. I like the fact that Ambrose has got that, getting that bit of a Stone Cold vibe to him, of like he hit the dirty deeds on both of them and sort of walked off and went, oh, sod it. Laurinaitis coming back was alright. The Shane doing the ultimate dad joke and pretending Stephanie was there was quite funny. overall it was a good addition of Raw, which has definitely got the gears turning, building up to Battleground, which is what you want.
Adam, what's your thoughts on Raw?
So yeah, good getting the gears going for Battleground. I'm going to be very interested to see how they book the triple threat now, bearing in mind 33% of it takes drugs and won't be there, allegedly. Shane, hilarious. John Laurinaitis coming out dressed like an Oompa Loompa, hysterical. Deliberately botching his lines, memories. Yeah, I liked it. It had a good pace to it. It didn't slow down. The Carl Anderson thing was a little bit of a joke. But they need to build towards Cena AJ again somehow. And I guess he was the sacrificial lamb to the slaughter on that occasion. But all in all, I quite like Raw.
Let's focus in on a few of the moments that happened. Let's first go to the tag team title picture and look at the New Day and the Wyatt return. What are your thoughts on this, PK, and are you excited to see this?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting matchup. I thought some of the stuff which happened in the promo was very good. I would have liked for Bray to actually get a bit more time to talk since he's just come back from the injury before he got cut off by New Day, but New Day cutting him off was a nice surprise because who saw that coming? I loved like when they're trying to get Xavier to do his line and he's in a trance and he's like half like walking towards the ring until they snap him out of it. Silly stuff like that was really well played. And I'd actually almost like to see them turn that into part of the matchup. Like, he's so entranced by Bray Wyatt that he just can't help himself.
I've got a feeling that that's going to become part of this feud. And it does. That's my only worry, is that it's a nice little moment, but will it affect the feud too much that it becomes a hindrance more than that nice little moment? Adam, what's your thought?
I think the New Day are very good at judging that kind of thing. So I don't think it's going to become a hindrance at all, and I hope it plays out quite nicely and just adds another layer of intricacy to what should be quite a good feud.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. It was, like I know you've mentioned, it was sort of like a surprise and a bit out of nowhere, because I expected the Wyatts to come back and maybe touch on their babyface turns that they were slightly going for earlier on in the year. But going up against the New Day, no signs of Luke Harper, though.
No, he's, as well, his knee injury, he's going to be out for a long time. He's done basically what Seth did.
Ah, right.
So he's going to be out for at least 6 to 7 months from just before Mania, wasn't it, when he did it?
Yeah.
So he's out for a good while. Yeah, unfortunately, it's a shame, because outside of Bray, he's my absolute hands down favorite member of the Wyatt from the in ring and just the character he portrays. But Bray looks in fantastic shape as well. That picture that got leaked on the internet of him in the gym looking like he's actually put the work in and he's dropped a few pounds to
I saw that
come back. It's really good.
Someone had memed it by saying, when you start becoming the eater of salads and not the eater of worlds. Let's move on to talk about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Those to put on another good match on Raw, which ended with just an all-out brawl going straight to the back. And all I was thinking was, oh, keep those microphones away from Sami Zayn, because you know what he gets like when he gets a little bit excited and he's enjoying stuff too much. He'll just swearing all over the fucking place. But where do you see this one ending, Adam? Is it like what JBL mentioned on commentary, where he said this could be the point where these two just need to be moved on to different shows during the brand extension, just so they're away from each other?
I think they'll separate them, but I think they'll have a final farewell at Battleground. Because Battleground happens... It's the Sunday straight after the draft, so I reckon they get separated. But they go out fighting.
Yes.
I personally think that they'll get the... They'll have the match at Battleground. Owens will probably win that, and they'll get split up in the draft, but then there'll be that constant social media thing of constantly taking pot shots at each other. So SummerSlam comes around and they'll have to throw them in there once again, because it's obviously a joint show pay-per-view.
Oh, I don't know. Even though it's a joint show pay-per-view, part of me wonders whether they'd want to do cross-brand matches so soon after the draft has taken place.
I think if you leave it too long, though, I know the story is well told up to this point, but if you leave it too long, people might start to forget and they'll have to go, oh yeah, they hate each other, don't they? If you leave it too long.
Yeah, I can see the points on both sides of this, and it's going to be an interesting one to see how it's playing out. But any time that I get to see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in the same segment, those two just, they can't, they're going to be in, they're going to be intertwined in each other's stories for the next decade. They'll keep going with it, and they'll, one day they will be tag team champions together. I see that coming down the road, far down the road, but I see that happening as well. And there's so many more stories to tell. So being on separate brands and taking a bit of a break from it, I don't have a massive problem with. Let's talk about the so we've talked about the Wyatts, we've talked about we've briefly touched on the John Cena and AJ Styles segment, but let's focus on AJ Styles after Raw, which was the Steve Austin podcast. Now, Pete, you've said that you've seen this. Have you seen this yet, Adam?
I have not. It's on my to-watch list tonight.
Well, I'm sure we won't spoil anything, but do you know anything about what's been said, Adam?
I do not. I know that there was a Texan and AJ Styles in a room having a chat, and beyond that, I know no more details.
Yeah, well, we won't mention much, but when you get to, there is a point in it, and I'm sure PK will agree with me, there's a point in it where there's about 5 minute period where where both sides of them are wanting to use the words TNA, and they want the other one to say it first. But as, and that's exactly what happened. But as soon as they get into it, it's a really, really interesting interview. Would you agree, PK?
Yeah, I agree 100%. The fact that he talks about, obviously, I'm not going to go too far into it because I've not seen it, but he talks about having to take a bet on himself and leaving TNA because he felt like he wasn't getting appreciated with his pay because he kept taking pay cuts when he was working his ass off. And little things like that really gives you that peek behind the scenes of TNA without them actively trying to bury them too much. Little things like that make you think. Then you hear the stories about Slammiversary never very nearly didn't happen until Billy Corgan put some money up and he's now minority owner of TNA. It's like, okay.
Well, that's money he's wasted.
I liked what he said about himself and Finn Balor, Prince Devitt, placing a bet on themselves, going away from what was comfortable to take a chance.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, and I think that it was, it really gave me a more in-depth look into AJ Styles, the person, as well as the character, because I didn't know a lot of that stuff, and you sort of assume for a long time, but Austin didn't let us down. He brought up the hard questions in there. He brought up TNA, which is something that I never thought I'd hear on WWE programming until they announced that this podcast was going to happen.
I thought they were going to say Florida. I thought they were going to
spent
11 years in Florida.
Yeah, 11 years in Florida. What were you working at Disney World? Or let's talk about the, because we've talked about the Roman Reigns situation, the triple threat match that is planned for Battleground. If it happens, are we looking forward to that?
Yeah, it should be good. Yeah. It's the Shield triple threat, because they're going to get split up in the draft, so this is the last chance we have to see it for a while.
Yeah, and it makes sense to do a Battleground for that reason, but also it feels like a much bigger match. It feels like a SummerSlam match, definitely, in the pre-brand extension days.
Yeah, I think that it would have ended up on SummerSlam if the draft wasn't happening. I think that was their original plan, and now they're going to have to do something else. It does make me question what their plans are now going to be for SummerSlam, but we'll have to see as the weeks go on. But
I just think, I thought as well, Ambrose looked like a million bucks with the title. The little skit at the start where he needed
taxi.
stuff like that really plays into his character, and the fact that he didn't care and he dirty deeds both of them, he's definitely got that. He's getting back to that Pillman, Piper, Austin sort of vibe that he had not too long ago before the feud with Jericho and Wyatt and all that stuff happened. He's getting back to that Ambrose that everyone fell in love with, and the reaction he got was fantastic.
I really hope that this continues. I'm really glad that they're giving Dean Ambrose a chance, and now we have we now live in a world where every Shield member is a current or former WWE World Heavyweight Champion, which can only be a good thing for a future reunion down the line.
The first ever CZW Heavyweight Champion to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I actually saw a picture of him side by side where he's holding the CZW Championship and the WWE Championship, and so many years later.
For a guy who has legitimately competed in deathmatch tournaments and had saw blades stuck to his head and stuff to now be the top of the wrestling mountain, it's amazing.
It really is. So, anything else to add about Raw, guys?
No, really good show. Really good way to kick off the... It's like a 5-week build to Battleground, and they've kicked it off quite well.
And obviously we've got the draft in the middle of that, and it's going to be a really, really good few weeks of wrestling, so you've got to stay tuned for that. So I think it's time to move into our final thoughts for the evening. PK, you mentioned that something that you want to mention as your final thoughts. You were in you were commentating this past weekend, and you were part of an angle.
Yeah, it was a bit weird, I'll be honest, because it's the first time I've ever had to do anything like that. But we were doing one of our big feuds going on in TNT at the moment is the Mankey Union faction of Manchester-based wrestlers wrestling in Liverpool, instant bad guys. But they've been going around taking people out, and it looked like they'd done it again. So they locked someone in a crab, Boston crab, and then put a steel chair under his face and then jumped off with a curb stomp onto the steel chair. Really cool visual, but then my commentary partner, to try and sell it a little bit more, left the commentary booth, ran to the ring, got in the ring, made sure he was okay, things like that. And I actually had someone come up to me at the end of the show and say, you convinced a jaded wrestling fan that something was wrong. It's like, brilliant. That's what we wanted. So it was weird, and I wasn't half as nervous as I thought I'd be, standing in the ring in front of a couple of hundred people, trying to not smile or laugh and actually like play me part. But yeah, seemed to go really well. It was just really strange.
Would it be something that you'd look to maybe ask them to let you do again sometime, a little angle here and there?
If the storyline called for it, I'm a commentator. I tell the stories over the on the DVDs and over the microphone in that respect. But yeah, if anything did come up again, I'd be more open to it now, and not quite as nervous or dismissive of doing it.
And which company was this again, just so that they can have another plug?
It's TNT Extreme Wrestling, based in Liverpool. Next show is the 27th of August, and a lot of the stuff from this past weekend is obviously going to carry on to that, including a 8-man no hold barred street fight main event, which is going to be a bit nuts. In fact, it's not even 8-man, it's 5-on-4. So calling that's going to be interesting, since we had a couple of matches which went outside the venue this time around. Then me and my commentary partner literally had to try and get down the stairs and back out to the street to see what was going on, which was again was interesting. It was a very fun show in that respect. And it's the show last weekend was called Going Off Big Time, which will be available on DVD soon, and the next one is Summer Explosion on the 27th of August.
Check them out, guys. Now, Adam, your final thoughts for this week.
I am very excited about the draft. I think we're going to get a lot of new faces and old faces turning up in WWE. And I'm just excited to see who rocks up. I want to see Kurt Angle back. I want to see MVP back. Hopefully he won't use the word that he used in TNA on live TV. That was awkward. But we don't talk about that anymore. And I want to see John Morrison. I really want to see John Morrison. So badly.
Yeah, John Morrison is a guy that I would love to see. I recently went back on a website that I used to do wrestling blogs for when I was younger. There's a bit where you could put in your favourite wrestler to let people know, and mine just said John Morrison, and in brackets, will be world champion one day. And I was like, okay. Oh, there we go. But you know what? He would be a great superstar to have in this brand extension. I loved him when I was younger, from his Johnny Nitro days right through till when he became John Morrison. Other guy, we sort of touched on the guys that WWE have apparently contacted, the Carlitos, the MVP, the Stevie Richards. That's according to the news sites, complete rumour for now.
And if you look at the people that they've already brought back in for the Cruiserweight Classic as well, they can make an appearance back on the main roster. You've got Tajiri, you've got Brian Kendrick, people like that who are in the Cruiserweight tournament. I'd love to see Tajiri back on TV, personally.
Yeah, I'd love to see Tajiri. How old is he now?
I'm not sure, actually. I know he's been working, obviously he's got his own promotion in Japan, which has been doing really well. Tajiri is 45.
A little bit old to be back on the road full time, maybe, but you never know. Some guys do it.
I'd even like to see him in NXT, just help him put younger guys over. And obviously him and Regal have got a built-in history from when they used to travel on the road together back in the day. Regal even posted a picture on Instagram of a story he tells in his spoken word tours about how Tajiri hates spam, and it's him and Tajiri in the middle of the ring with him holding a can of spam in his face and stupid stuff like that. So I'd like to see him even on NXT, bringing the new guys through, especially when you've got the likes of obviously you've got Kenta there, and you've got Nakamura there. So the more Japanese talent they've got to work with to get them acclimatized, the better.
Are there any other guys that we haven't mentioned already that either of you two would like to see return if they're wanting some veterans to return for the brand extension?
Shelton Benjamin.
Oh yeah. Now, would you bring him back with Charlie Haas?
I would not. And the only reason I want Shelton Benjamin to come back, you know, was he good in the ring? Yes. Was he fun to watch? Yes. But at the moment, Rob Schamberger, portrait artist of the WWE, has that as his entrance music. And if Shelton comes back, he's going to have to change it. Yeah.
I'd like to see Harry Smith come back. Davey Smith Jr., whatever you want to call him. Because since he left WWE, he's been absolutely killing it.
He will never come back. Anger's a powerful emotion.
Yeah, but I'd fancy pie in the sky. I'd like to see it, because since moving away from WWE and going to do his own thing, he's really come on leaps and bounds.
I hear that. I quite like to see Paul London come back. I really liked Paul London, because he did like loads of flippy stuff.
Paul London and Brian Kendrick turn up on the day that New Day are about to beat their record.
That would be amazing.
I think Paul London actually at the moment works for. I think from what I read somewhere, I don't know how true it is, he's actually a road agent for TNA.
All right. Well, you know.
Matches.
WWE just need to give him a fiver here and there, then, and he'll turn around, because that'll be more money than TNA's giving him. So I think we've filled up everyone there with the possibilities for the brand extension. If you have any guys that we haven't mentioned that you think we should have mentioned, get in touch on the Facebook fan page, European Uppercut Podcast, or on Twitter at the EU Pod. Now, my final thought was briefly touched on by PK, and that is the Cruiserweight Classic because it's coming up. I'm really excited about it. And it has been announced today that Daniel Bryan and Mauro Ranallo are going to be hosting and calling the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, that'll do me.
Yeah, I think that just sells it to me. But hearing everyone that's taking part and from all around the world, it's sounding like a really, really cool concept. And finally, WWE are opening up their horizons to allow people who aren't part of the WWE, people who aren't built in WWE, are now being allowed into WWE and being broadcast on the network, even if they're not going to be kept under contract. And I think that's the best thing for the growth of the WWE in this state of the industry. Would you agree, Adam?
Yeah, completely. And they kind of have to as well, because they've got three brands to fill. Because NXT is going to be completely depleted to fill both main rosters. So they're going to have to get more people in NXT. And this is a good way of finding new people. But I've always loved Cruiserweight wrestling. I think I missed the Cruiserweight title so much. And I'm wonderfully, wonderfully excited for the Cruiserweight Classic. It's going to be great.
I can't wait, especially since randomly one person in there is someone I class as a friend, because I've worked with them on wrestling shows previously, and Jack Gallagher from around the my neck of the woods up here in the northwest of England is in there. Poho Lun, one of the Chinese representatives, I've worked on shows with him previously. Zack Sabre Jr. is one of the best in the world. No, all these people getting a really big opportunity, and they are legitimately from all over the world. Indian talent in there. And there's a few people that have snuck in, like Cedric Alexander from Ring of Honor, who is a really good talent.
Is it? What's this Noam Dar like? That's a name I've been hearing a lot.
Noam Dar's very good, and he's still very young as well. I think he's only early 20s. Yeah, 22.
Bloody hell. So, I feel so old. Seriously.
wrestling since he was in his late teens. Wrestled AJ Styles when he was 19 years old. That shows you the faith that they had with him, that they put him in there with AJ. Noam Dar's fantastic, and I think he's going to make a big impression. I think I can see him, Zack Sabre Jr., Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa all going really far in the tournament.
So go on then, PK. You're a big indie wrestling fan. This 10-week tournament that will air every Wednesday night and culminate with a live 2-hour special on Wednesday the 14th of September. Who is your early pick to win the whole thing?
Early pick for me, it's between two. Zack Sabre Jr. and Akira Tozawa. Tozawa, because one, he's Japanese, and they've had a lot of success currently with getting Japanese talent in. Two, he's worked really hard, he's dropped weight, he looks in fantastic shape. And three, he is really close friends with Uha Nation. And then those two were stable mates in Japan, and the work that Uha did in Japan was one of the big factors for him getting signed in the first place. So I'm hoping he'll, if not win it, at least go far. And Zack Sabre Jr. is just my absolute favourite wrestler to watch at the moment, and WWE have got nobody like him.
Do you have an early favourite, Adam?
I am gonna put my neck out and I'm gonna say TJ Perkins.
Fair enough. I would probably think that by the way things are going, I think that Zack Sabre Jr. is gonna be one of the main guys on there that's either gonna get extremely far in the tournament, win it, or I think he'll end up being signed either way. I think a lot of these guys will end up being signed by WWE in some fashion. However, I think that brings us to the end of today's show. Now, let's say our goodbyes. PK, say your goodbyes and let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PK_BWC. I am trying to change that at the moment because I am now one of the regular hosts on One Up Power Up, along with Smoking Scott and Only One Mart. Guest hosted for a couple of weeks, and I've been asked to become a full-time host, so I've accepted accepted, and I can't wait to get back on there and talk some video games. And if anyone has got any, we're going to start talking about a year in gaming at the end of the show every week. The first year we've picked is 1990, so if anyone's got any particular gaming memories from 1990, send them over to @1up_powerup on Twitter, and we'll bring them up on this week's show.
Thank you very much, PK. It's been great to have you on once again, and we hope to have you on again sometime soon. Adam, where can everyone find you?
My name is Adam Pearson, and I am the one... Oh, no, wait, that's Paul Heyman. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter @Adam_Pearson. You can probably find me in a pub in Croydon somewhere. I think I left a bit of my soul there last night. And, yeah, you can... Well, a lot of my stuff still very much up on BBC iPlayer. And
it is, yeah. I noticed this. All your documentaries have been put back up there.
Very strategic move, my friend. They're nominated for awards.
Ah, well, thank you very much, Adam, for coming on the show, and PK, and thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's show. If you want to send in your emails for next week's show, you can do by sending them to eurouppercut@gmail.com. Remember to check out all the other great shows on the Trending Topics Network by going to trendingtopicsnetwork.com, where you can find other great shows such as the Spanish Announce Table, Brasslecast, Squabble Box, which you can find me on, Eurovision Showcase, Blue Chat, One Up Club's Heads Up, and much, much more. But we need a new saying for the outro, because we can't exactly say we're leaving the building, can we? Adam, I'll leave this up to you. Off the top of your head, what is going to be the sign-off for the next 3 weeks?
This has been the European Uppercut, and as of tomorrow, we might be leaving the EU.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll see you all right back here next week.
Oh man, God, mother of all European uppercuts.
Whatever crap that legend plays at the end, I'm gonna make the noise with my mouth. That's staying in, isn't it?